One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ Mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
9737.
So when it comes to drawing conclusions about...
Some stories don't fade with time. They linger for generations. And I know how much you all appreciate good paranormal storytelling, which is why I have a podcast recommendation for you. It's called Southern Gothic. Southern Gothic unearths tales of relentless spirits, brutal crimes, and eerie folklore that refuse to stay buried, exploring where history and hauntings collide with the immersive storytelling steeped in swamp-drenched traditions of the American Southland. Host Brandon Schecksnyder brings historical depth and cultural context to every tale, honoring the communities and the traditions behind each haunting. It's thoughtful, spine-tingling, and extremely well-produced, without feeling sensationalized. And Southern Gothic doesn't shy away from the South's most violent and mysterious chapters. From historic true crime cases to deadly scandals and eerie unsolved mysteries, these stories dig deep into the region's haunted past. So, if you like hearing how eerie legends and strange first-hand encounters intertwine, this one's for you. Listen to Southern Gothic on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I also put a link in tonight's show notes.
City has full authority in that.
Welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. Well, how about that? We meet again. We're so glad to have you with us once again as we work our way through another slate of calls. And I have a real spooky one lined up for you here tonight. Stories about Bigfoot, UFOs, hooded figures, men in black, ghost cats, a dinosaur, and a whole lot more. So make yourself comfortable. I'm gonna push play on Daniel's call out of Indiana.
Hi, my name is Daniel Brown. I'm from Sheridan, Indiana. It was about a week after we brought my son home from the hospital, being born and everything. we started hearing strange noises, one coming from the baby monitors and, you know, strange knocking and voices and everything. Well, one night, the bassinet was in our room. I woke up to find a misty-looking figure standing above his bassinet looking down at him. It wasn't feel threatened or nothing, but it was very eerie to see that this figure looking down at our son. And when he looked up and turned to me, I realized it looked like my grandpa Brown, who he is named after. He smiled and then vanished right in front of my eyes. It scared me enough that I jumped out of bed. I ended up waking my wife up, scared, and she told me that she has seen some things, but didn't think too much of it, thinking it was her mind playing her tricks on me. But this was him looking right at me, and it was very creepy, but heartwarming in general to see that he was looking over his grandson and watching over him. That is my story. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Now, folks, how do you feel about this one? Daniel mentioned that his story was creepy and heartwarming. So where do you fall on that scale? If you saw the ghost of your grandfather, or any loved one for that matter, what's your knee-jerk reaction? Is it scary, or is it reassuring? Now, as far as the story is concerned, Daniel, not the first nor the last time I'll hear a story about a deceased loved one returning to see a newborn relative. So at the very least, you're in great company. Now, thanks again for taking the time to call in. And since Daniel's call was so brief, I believe we can work in one more entry before we have to take our first break of the evening. So, everyone, put your claws together for Corey in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Derek. This is Corey from Titusville, Pennsylvania. I was a witness to the flying saucer in Titusville back in 2012. I was working at a knife company, and I just saw it slowly go by as if it was like vibrating, slowly going past the window. I was the only one that noticed it. And then later on, it was in the paper, and it had the picture that I saw clearly. It's just stereotypical UFO, and yeah, it was pretty amazing. They played it off as an April Fool's joke. I mean, obviously, you know, kind of do that stuff. Yeah, that's really all I want to share for now. Thank you. Love the show. Bye.
Now, we sure do appreciate the call, Corey. And it sounds like you certainly saw something that evening. And given your location, I'm not surprised. Titusville has a long history of strange visitors. The following are just a few beats that Delaney managed to dig up to help sell my claim. You're about to learn that the Titusville, Pennsylvania area is very active. August 24th, 1952, journalist Frank S. Holowak witnessed moving lights on the horizon. As he was observing the lights, his car began to shake. "It felt like a giant magnet was drawing my flesh," he exclaimed. September 15th, 1964, seven young boys report a UFO gliding across the sky. Two brothers report a round object with a cone-shaped top and flashing red and white lights. And exactly 1 year later, on September 15th, 1965, a boy witnessed three luminous blue triangular craft in the sky. And in December of that same year, a man and his daughter reported a UFO falling out of the sky just outside town. On September 8th of 1966, residents of Pleasantville reported a red, white, green, and yellow light spinning in circles. In November of 78, two reports within 1 week of each other. The first report involving a flashing white light, and the second involved an orange, green, and white craft hovering in the air. And finally, in 1979, a large light, half the size of the moon, was reported by residents of Hatchtown. And honestly, the list goes on. But of course, that list of sightings does little to explain what it was that Corey witnessed back in 2012. That part is still very much a mystery. Now, we tried to find the article that was mentioned in the story, but we came up short. So if you're listening and happen to have access to it, please send it along and I'll be sure to post it up. But until then, thank you again, Corey, for sharing the entry.
That evil personified.
One band, one sound. They just have one.
Now, if you have seen any of the videos we make on social media, you probably already know that when it comes to clothes, I'm not really into chasing trends. I'm all about quality items that fit right, feel good, and actually last, which is why I love Quince for my everyday wardrobe staples. Quince is the kind of stuff you'll actually wear on repeat, like breathable cotton tees, linen shirts, and comfortable, lightweight pants that somehow work for both weekend hangs and dress-up dinners. And the best part is everything with Quince is half the cost of similar brands. By working directly with top artisans and cutting out the middleman, Quince gives you luxury pieces that last without the crazy markups. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which makes me feel good about shopping there. This summer, I've been living in Quince's linen drawstring shorts and 100% organic tees. They even have high-quality, quick-drying Italian swim trunks. You've got to check them out. So stick to the staples that last with Elevated Essentials from Quince. Go to quince.com/MAU for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MAU to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MAU.
With the Game Changing Rewards Program, an unbeatable selection.
Now this next story is pretty incredible. Bonnie, welcome to the program.
Hi, this is Bonnie. I was listening to the podcast and I had a memory of something I wanted to share with you guys. This happened many moons ago. I'm in Central Arkansas and this happened in Northwest Arkansas. I had just taken a job at a new hospital and it was a very stressful time. I was trying to move and my shifts were just long hours and I was just exhausted by the time I got off work this night. I had left the parking lot in my car. As soon as you leave the parking lot, you come to a four-way stop. Stoplights, it's a pretty busy road, you know. I was just waiting for it to turn green to go. At the time, this young man pulled up behind me, a teenager, you can tell. He has the music blaring and, you know, a little sports car and everything, and he's ready to go too. Well, as soon as it turned green, I went to go put my foot on the gas, and a very soft voice inside my head said, "Bonnie, don't go." And I thought about it for a second, and I shook it off, and I could tell the boy behind me was getting frustrated, and he was honking at me. And I go to put my foot on the gas again, and the voice says, "Bonnie, don't go." And when I went to try to put my foot on the gas, the foot would not move. My foot was paralyzed. It just would not move. I was not going anywhere. And I could tell this kid in back of me was just getting frustrated. He was about to go around me. But right at this time, our light was green. You know, it was red going the other way. This huge white work truck, I mean, they had to have been drunk or something, went through this intersection going at least 60 miles an hour. Now, I would have been okay, but the kid behind me, it would have hit him. He would have been dead. That would have been it. And I just froze when I saw that. And I looked in my rearview mirror at the kid, and his eyes were just as wide as ghosts. And he just looked at me and whispered, "Thank you." And I pointed up, like, "God." So I'm pretty sure that was my guardian angel that night, or it might have been his guardian angel. I'm not sure, but it saved us from something very awful could have happened. I just wanted to share that story and tell everybody, you know, you hear that voice in your head, listen to it. Because if I would have listened to that, I don't know if I would have been here today. So thank you for your time and loving the podcast. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bonnie. What an incredible story. And folks, you know that she's right. When you hear that voice, you listen to it. Because that voice always seems to know. Well, thank you, Bonnie, for sharing the entry. Now, not that Bonnie did a bad job of telling her story. It's quite the opposite, actually. But I would love to hear the same story from the young man's point of view. I'm curious to know if he experienced it the same way that Bonnie did. And perhaps does he have an explanation for all of this? I have so many questions. So on the off chance that he may be listening, or for any of you that have a story you think would be perfect for this little program, give us a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can record your story as a voice memo on your phone and email it to me at monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. But don't forget about the rules. After all, we want you to sound your best when you tell your story. So don't call from a car. Don't call when there's noise in the background. Find a quiet time in a quiet room. Then let us have it. Your story could be the scariest in the world, but if it's full of background noise, we're certainly going to be distracted. Now, what are those other rules, you ask? Well, one story per call. Call as much as you want. If you need more time, just finish your call and call back in and pick up where you left off. And true stories only. No fibbing. Oh, and only call a story in once. Sometimes people get impatient or worry that their call didn't go through the first time, so they call back again. Then, over time, both calls end up getting featured. Duplicates, if you will. And you know, it's really hard to check for that sort of thing. It's very time-consuming. So it's easier on us if you just call once. We share about 30 to 35 calls a week, so trust me when I say we'll get to it soon. So if you call in and follow those rules, you can find yourself featured on the program, just like our friend Reese here, all the way from Australia.
Hey Derek, it's Reese here from Australia. I'm currently in Adelaide. I know I've sent you my song UFO, but I don't have a UFO story to tell you of my own, but I do have a pretty creepy ghost story. It all centers around my big sister. Everything always happens around her. The scariest one that I can remember from my childhood is she had a friend come stay over that was really upset. I didn't really know why. But anyway, everybody went to bed. My room was across from my sister's room, down the hallway, and we always left the doors open and the hall light on. You know, we're like 8, 9 years old or something. I had a loft bed, which is like, you know, a bunk bed with just the top bunk. And I woke up in my loft bed in the middle of the night and I could see someone down the hallway looking into my sister's room, which was weird. So I leant over the top because I couldn't really see him. And as I did, I made a noise on my bed. It was like a metal bed frame and it creaked. And as it creaked, I could tell he was paying attention and could hear me. Then he turned around to look at me, but he was so tall that he had to duck under the door frame to get out of the room. So he did that. He brought his head all the way under the door frame and stood up. When he was looking at me, he had like really dark features. Like I couldn't see his eyes. It was just kind of like dark black kind of areas around his mouth as well. And he was wearing a suit and he ran at me down the hallway and ducked under my door frame really quickly and jumped up at the bed. And I just remember waking up in the morning and I'd thrown up. My mum, bless her, was cleaning it up. My mum loves this stuff, so I told her what happened and she obviously was like, "Oh." I later found out that the reason my sister's friend had stayed over was a family member of hers had passed away, and I think that her mum and dad dropped her off that night to, you know, stay with her best friend, my sister. So I don't know if that was somebody for her. I don't know. Didn't seem very nice in the moment. Yeah, love your show, mate. Well done. You've done such a great job. Bless you. I'll speak to you soon, mate. Have a good one.
Thank you, Reese, for that creepy entry. And for the song UFO, because it's been stuck in my head for weeks now, in the best sort of way. Now, if you're in the dark here, Reese is a very talented singer down there in Australia, and he shared with us his newest song, UFO, a song that we shared on the MAU Campout special episode. There's a link to the single in tonight's show notes, if you'd like to check it out. And I think you should, because as the kids say, that song slaps. Now, the entity that you saw, Reese, I really like your guess as to what it was. Perhaps it was there for your sister's grieving friend. It possibly could have even been the very same person that she was in mourning for. I think that theory is as good as any. Now, as for this thing running at you full sprint, it's no wonder you threw up. I think it's safe to say that most of us would probably have that very same reaction. So thank you again, as always, Reese. And be sure to keep it spooky down there. Now, folks, the fun is far from over, as evidenced by this next call from Katie up in Illinois.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I'm from Central Illinois. My story is somewhat short, but it still gives me chills to this day. So I and my boyfriend, we were watching Project Fear on YouTube. So basically their channel is a ghost hunting channel, and they go and explore different places. And one episode was specifically creepy because they were in this house and one of their devices kept using demonic terms or saying devil. And during one point of the episode, it had said the word devil 3 times. So it said devil, devil, devil. And as the last word was said, our TV started to glitch. And it stopped working. Like, it was making a noise, like, wee! We thought it was on the show. And then our TV completely shut off on its own. And mind you, this has never happened before. And since watching that video, we feel a sense of heaviness lingering in our home. So I guess we wonder, has that always been there? Or did something happen because we watched the show and we just kind of invited that energy in? I guess we don't know, but that's all I've got. Thanks for letting me share my creepy story. Like I said, it still gives me those goosebumps to this day.
Thank you, Katie. You know, if a glitchy YouTube app is a sign of paranormal infestation, then I think Sarah and I are in a lot of trouble. Because our YouTube does weird stuff like this all the time. Some of it is quite disturbing as well. Distorted faces, pulsing, digital, and audio interference. But the worst part is when 90% of the audio drops out, but every once in a while you get an echoey voice that will ring out at full volume, distorted to the point that you'd swear it came from a demon itself. So I'd say that if you feel a negative energy in your home, it was likely there before the glitch occurred. Or at least, that's my guess. Regardless, we thank you, Katie, for taking the time to call in. And by the way, folks, MAU is on YouTube. Every show is posted there each week. So if you're surfing YouTube, give us a little like and follow, if you will. We sure would appreciate it. Well, it's time for another quick break, but I'll be right back with a story that might melt your heart.
Don't have to take your shoes off anymore.
Lynn about any of it.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Walk. Been around for 30 years now.
Now, not all ghosts are chills and fright. Sometimes they possess a familiar spirit. Please welcome Pam to the program.
Hi, Derek. This is Pam from Southeast Texas. I'm calling in with a personal story of my own. I've heard you talk about how you have lost two of your cats. I've lost several over the years, and this is a very interesting story. It was the day before Thanksgiving, and we had to put one of our cats to sleep due to cancer. And of course, we were brokenhearted. So the next day, I go to bed early. My family stays up. I have to go to bed. So I get into bed. I turn out the light. And as soon as I turn out the light, I feel something jump on the bed. And I have a full motion water bed, so I feel it very easily. And I was like, huh? So I turn on the light. Nothing's there. Turn off the light. Once again, I feel something jump on the bed. And I can hear my family watching TV outside. So, yes, I'm definitely awake, and I don't fall asleep that fast. I'm a light sleeper. And so I feel suddenly something curl up against my midsection because I'm a side sleeper. I'm laying on my side. And I feel something just curl up. And then I feel a vibration just like a purr. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's Cinder. And I was just so happy to feel that and just felt so special. And then a couple of days later, I mentioned it to my family, and both of my daughters said, yeah, we felt her walk across our bed. My husband said, yeah, I felt her walk across the bed. We know she's here. And it just made me feel very happy. And Derek, I know that your cats are still with you. You just may not feel it, but they're with us. They don't leave us. They love us. They stay with us. And it's not the first time that I've felt or experienced that. And I have more than one cat and dog that since that time I have experienced. And like I said, both times I know I'm wide awake, so I know it's not a dream. But I just wanted to give that to you and just let you know that they know we miss them and they're just there and they're hanging around us. That's what I truly believe. Anyway, thank you for your show. Bye.
Thank you, Pam. Sarah and I have lost two of our cats since starting this program. Jack in 2019 and Annabelle in 2023. It's awful that they live such short lives. Made even more awful by the fact that most of us live such long lives by comparison. But that is a cruelty that we withstand because we love our animals. And from the sounds of things, Pam, your cat, Cinder, loved you too. Now, Pam is right. I haven't had any experiences to make me think that either of my cats are still around. But I hope that Pam is also right in saying that they're still here, even if we can't see them. Or at the very least, I hope that they've moved on to something better. Well, either way, thank you for breaking our hearts, Pam. And thank you for sharing that touching experience. Now, switching gears here with this next one. Please welcome Maddie from California.
Hi, Derek. This is Maddie from Los Angeles. And what I'm going to share did happen in Los Angeles. So one of your stories that one of your listeners shared, I don't remember what episode it was, and they were talking about waking up and hearing some kind of magnetic sound, vibration sound. And I wanted to share that some time ago last year in 2024, in the middle of the night, I had some kind of dream. It seemed to have been a nightmare because I woke up scared. And I woke up, I sat up on my bed, and I clearly heard a magnetic vibration next to my ear. And it was like a wah, 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 wah. It was really weird. And it was really loud. And it was for a couple seconds, maybe 5 seconds. But my husband did not hear it. And anyone else in the house didn't hear it. Just me. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was something with my dream or something alien. But I did want to share my story because, like I said, I heard one of your listeners share their story that they heard something similar to that in the middle of the night. But yeah, thank you and keep up the great work.
Thank you, Maddie. Now, I certainly don't want to raise any alarm bells for you here, Maddie, but I have heard this sound reported prior to or immediately after a supposed alien abduction. It's almost implied that it's the entity's ship that's emanating the sound. And that's a freaky concept, to say the least. But the sounds you described could also have a mundane explanation as well. A week or two ago, we went a whole day without power. Something went wrong at the nearby substation, and it was down from about 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. or something. But I happened to be sitting outside in our screened-in porch when the switch was thrown to turn the power back on. And the sound that was made was not only freaky, but it was also very similar to what Maddie just described. Now, I don't have a recording of that particular instance, but I do have a few other recordings that I borrowed off of YouTube. And I'll play three separate examples of a substation switch being thrown. Tell me, Maddie, was this anything like what you heard? Close Maddie lives to a substation, this could easily explain the strange noise that she heard and felt that day. But of course, it's more fun to imagine that it was aliens. Although I doubt Maddie would agree with that statement. Either way, we thank you, Maddie, for the phone call. Do let me know if you think any of those sounds are a match, because I'm curious to know. Well, from strange sounds to strange sights, please join me in New Mexico, where Trent is waiting with his story.
Hey, this is Trent. At the time of my story, I lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I was at my buddy's house, so we were smoking weed, we ate some food. Like an hour or so had passed. I got really tired, so I was like, I'm going to go home. I walk outside, and like the way his house is, it's like his street goes up, and then there's a stop sign and a horizontal street. And right next to the horizontal street is a ditch, and then there's a row of houses going horizontally, and you can see into their backyard. Like, it's just not a big fence. I'm walking up to my truck, and there's a porch light in somebody's backyard, and I see what looks like a hooded figure, and I kind of laughed to myself. I was like, oh, it was like 12 at night. What if somebody's doing some weird culty stuff in their backyard? I didn't think much of it, you know? And at the time, it was like July, okay? So this was not near Halloween. I'm walking up to my truck, and I can still see it. It hasn't moved at all. I get in my truck, and I'm driving towards the stop sign by the horizontal road, and like, I'm really starting to see this thing. It's starting to spook me out, but I still can't really see it. And so I have a pretty tall truck. I flick my brights on as I'm turning onto the horizontal road, and I could see this thing. Like, imagine if somebody was wearing a really thick robe over their head, like the old traditional like ghost costumes, but there's like no features, no like cutouts like for the eyes or anything. It's just like what I think is a head, and it's a full body. The thing was huge, and like the robe goes all the way down to the ground, and at the very bottom, it was white, like it was layered. Like there was a white robe on top of their head, and then there was a black robe on top of their head. That's what it looked like. But this thing, when I say it was featureless, like if there was fabric on whatever they were wearing, it wasn't like that. It was like this perfect black color with no features in it. I was turning while I was looking at it when I flicked my brights on, and I was so mesmerized by it, like just in pure shock, that I almost drove into the ditch. And so then I just like panicked. I started freaking out. I genuinely thought I was going to die or something, like it was a weird omen. I haven't seen it since, but I genuinely was like racking my brain. I was like, was that just somebody like playing some weird joke? But when I say I was walking up and looking at this thing before I got a really good look at it, it was probably like a 2 to 3 minute span. This thing did not move at all. So then I was like, okay, so, you know, maybe it's like a weird statue or something. So as soon as I get home, I lived like 5-6 minutes away from my buddy. I called him and I had him go look at it. And when I say you can't miss it, I started seeing it almost as soon as I walked out of his house, just looking forward, like on the sidewalk, you could see it that well. And he didn't see anything. Anyways, it was crazy. And that's my story.
Thank you, Trent. You know, I find this a bit ironic that you should be calling this in from New Mexico. Because I couldn't help but think of the New Mexico Grim Reaper from the Beyond portion of Season 16, Episode 9. 10 years ago, someone or something dressed as death and terrorized parts of Albuquerque. Here is a local news clip from KRQE News 13 out of Albuquerque.
People are calling him the Grim Reaper, the Angel of Death, Darth Vader. The figure cloaked in a dark robe drew lots of attention at a local cemetery, enough to stop traffic and start an online frenzy. News 13's Gabrielle Burkhardt is live at the old cemetery near Gibson and I-25. Gabby?
Matt, drivers called it a creepy scene. A figure cloaked in all black standing at this cemetery Sunday stopped traffic on the highway. So who was he?
Now, of course, I encourage you all to take a look at this clip. But Trent, I encourage you specifically. Because I think there's a real chance that this fella might be exactly what you saw that night. First off, he fits the description. He's dressed in a white, short-sleeved robe that stretches all the way to the ground. Then, over his head and shoulders, he wears a heavy black cloak that, too, nearly reaches the ground. His face is completely obscured by the oversized hood. Now, whoever this guy is, he's been seen in cemeteries all over Albuquerque. So is it possible that he ventured 3 hours south to Las Cruces? And is it possible that Trent saw him? Now, although these news reports are 10 years old at this point, the figure, many refer to as the Grim Reaper, is still at it, at least as of January of last year. because there's a report on Lon Strickler's phantoms and monsters, claiming that he's still around and still visiting cemeteries. So I guess the big question here, Trent, is this. Is there a cemetery anywhere near your friend's house? I think that might tell us all that we need to know. But whatever it was, we sure do appreciate you reporting it to us, Trent. I'll be sure to keep my ears and eyes open for any other possibilities.
He's a guy in a coach that's going to get on you when you're not doing.
And members have shared more than $7 billion.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Better than you don't send it, you go for a walk. It could be very therapeutic.
Now, you know, there's just some phenomena that we don't hear about all that often. And this next entry features activity that fits that description perfectly. Please welcome Jim from the Golden State of California.
Hi, Derek. This is Jim. I live in San Diego County. This occurrence happened in the mid-80s, and my wife and I had spent the night in Death Valley during one of the winter months, and we got up early the next morning and we're headed over to Lake Isabella, which is over in Central California. And we had only really just left the Death Valley area, climbing out of a desert area, but on a winding road. And around the corner came a late model Ford Crown Victoria being driven by a serviceman, and in the back seat were two well-dressed men, both with suits, ties, jackets, fedora hats, and looked rather odd. They had pasty complexions. Both of us kind of looked at each other and said, what the heck? And then we kept going. And about a minute later, another similar, perhaps a different color, but similar Ford Crown Victoria being driven by a serviceman came by. At that point, it became debatable as to what was going on. So anyway, not too awfully far away is Edwards Air Force Base from where they were coming, and not too awfully far away in the other direction, maybe 50 to 100 miles, is Area 51. So perhaps these were just scientists or VIPs, or who knows. But anyway, they were all dressed the same. Two men in the back seat of each car dressed the exact same, with the same complexion. So anyway, we continued on our way, and that's basically the gist of the story. Again, this happened in the mid-80s. I had really forgotten about it, but then listening to your show, I remembered that this had actually happened. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. The mysterious men in black. Now, as I was listening to this call, I couldn't shake the feeling that I knew that story from somewhere. Men in black in or around Death Valley National Park. Now, at first, I thought this was one of those repeat calls I'd mentioned earlier in the program. But then it finally dawned on me. Back on Season 19, Episode 16, I shared a call from Chris in Texas, in which he too experienced what he believed might have been men in black in or around Death Valley. He and his family were driving through the area on a hot 114-degree day. That's 46 degrees Celsius for all of you overseas. And that's when they noticed something coming up behind them on the road. I'll let Chris from Texas take it from here.
I look behind, I just see a black vehicle. I'm like, okay, well, there's somebody finally coming and they're slowly catching up. I'm looking, it's like, there's no license plate on the front. And then keep looking, you can't see through the windshield, completely blacked out. So it's just really weird, and because at the time I didn't know, I've seen the movie Men in Black, but I didn't really know that was a thing, but I'm just keeping an eye on it, and then next thing I know, we're taking a turn, there's a couple more behind them, and we just kind of keep chugging along, but they're gaining on us, and next thing we know, to me, it feels almost like between Men in Black and Mirrored Men. Because they are three solid black SUVs, blackout windshields, windows, everything completely blacked out, no license plate. There's not even emblems. It's just absolutely generic. There's nothing on it, no words, no nothing, just black. Well, they pull up behind us, maybe about 50 yards behind us, and all three of them in unison move over past us. And they're all perfectly spaced in between each one. And they pass us going at steady speed. And then once that third one's behind us, all three of them in perfect unison scoot over right back in front of us.
Now I wonder, could those have been the very same cars that Jim encountered? Could it have been the very same occupants, even? And could those occupants have been men in black? Or something even more unusual? Or were they simply diplomats, unworthy of a plane ride between Air Force bases? So that makes two experiences. If it happens a third time, well, then we know that's more than a coincidence. Thank you again to both Chris and Jim for sharing those sinister stories. Now, folks, look up in the sky. What is that strange strobing effect? Here to elaborate is Anonymous, out of parts unknown.
Hey, so first I want to say I really appreciate this podcast. Anyway, I wanted to bring up this, I guess, UAP I saw one time and just see if anybody else has experienced anything similar. So this event happened in Northern California, North Bay Area, in 2005, I believe. I was in the passenger seat as a 15-year-old. My mom was driving, and we were going up to Lake County, driving up from Calistoga. And the road is very forested, very dark, and very windy. It's a pass that goes up past Mount St. Helena. It was really late at night. It was like 10 p.m. or somewhere around there. And we were driving. I'm just kind of like spacing out, looking at the stars, and it was a very clear night, so you could see all the stars. Looking at the silhouettes of the mountains against the night sky. And suddenly this one in the middle, like, flashed white, as if someone had taken a picture of it with like a massive Polaroid camera. And what was odd about it was, I mean, first of all, it was a very large area. The whole ass mountain lit up. And it was just the mountain. I remember noting how strange it was that the mountain, when it lit up, silhouetted everything around it. Like, it was just that one hill that was lighting up, and the mountains behind and the forest in front were all remained in darkness, lit as they should be by the night sky. And I remember looking over at Mom and being like, did you see that? It happened like intermittently, and it was just a flash, like literally as if someone were taking a picture of it. And Mom was like, yeah, I don't know what the that is. It was just so odd. I thought at the moment, like, well, you know, sometimes they use lights to like harvest graves at night, but it was literally the entire mountain. I can't think of anything like man-made that could create such an effect. And I still have no idea what it was. Yeah, and I've never seen anything like it since then. And I've never heard anybody describe something like this except for one person. My sister-in-law experienced something a little bit similar. And this was during a time when she was living in like a community called Hidden Valley, I believe. It's like right on the perimeter of Middletown. So the place where she experienced this was just a, you know, 30-minute drive away from where we were when we saw what we saw. So it was very late at night for her as well. She was home alone, and the dog was in the backyard and just started like barking like wild. So she thought, oh, maybe there's like deer outside or something. So she went to go check on the dog. And as she stepped outside, she described that the whole sky flashed blue, very similar to what I described with the mountain, but it was the entire sky that just in a flash, the whole thing lit up as if someone was taking a picture, and then nothing. Anyway, so years later, I was listening to this podcast and I recalled this weird experience I had one time. I decided to take a look on Google Maps because that exists now. I'm pretty sure I found the spot from my memory where I saw this. I believe the mountain I was looking at might have actually been Mount St. Helena. Like, when I look at the map, it's kind of, the road is sort of facing in that direction. So that's interesting. I had no idea at the time. I thought it was just some random mountain in the background being illuminated suddenly. And I also attached an illustration just to try to like give a better description of what I remember. It's painted very quickly and from memory, but I hope it does an adequate job. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, caller. Now, back in 2008 or maybe 2009, myself and a handful of buddies hiked up the Dry Lake in the San Gorgonio Mountains here in SoCal. Now, we were pretty high up, 8,000 or 9,000 feet, if I remember correctly. And we reached camp before dark in a pine grove just below the summit. Now, once it got dark in this area, the sky came alive. The number of stars we saw that night was mind-blowing. But we also noticed that every 5 or 6 seconds or so, there would be a faint flash of light that would light up the sky all around us. It wasn't so faint that you couldn't see it, but it also wasn't so bright that it actually illuminated anything else on the ground. It was more like a bulb at the top of a radio tower. But there were no towers or electricity anywhere in sight. It was lit up from peak to peak. Now, we never learned what that was either. The rest of my gang wasn't all that interested, and our attention was quickly moved elsewhere. But as strange as that story was, it was nothing like what our caller just described. It almost sounded like the flash she experienced was much, much brighter. And if the painting that she sent in is any indication, the light was more concentrated as well. Now, if you'd like to check out her art, there's a link to it up in the show notes. Thank you again, caller, for sharing this unusual yet familiar experience. And folks, that brings us to tonight's closer. Now, there's a reason I named this show Monsters Among Us. It's because I love monster stories, and I like to take any chance I can get to talk about them. So here, with one more piece of lore, is Steve, out of one of the last places you'd probably associate with the creature known as Bigfoot, the natural state of Arkansas.
Hi, my name is Steve, and I'm from Louisiana. I'm 67, so I'm an old feller. Any case, I did have an encounter back in 1975 when I was stationed in the military at Fort Polk. And it was in Arkansas when every weekend I would go with my girlfriend's farm outside of Camden, Arkansas, about a 4.5 hour drive from post. It was a Friday night that about 9 o'clock. We just finished supper and we was all hunkered down then. I remember this like it was yesterday. I mean, that was 50 years ago. Her granny was in the kitchen. So she was washing dishes, cleaning up. She screamed. We all ran and see about her. Got in the kitchen. She's on the floor pointing at the kitchen window saying she's seen it again, just yelling. She was frantic, so we all armed up, went out back towards the pasture in that area there. And that farm was 250 acres, so it was about a mile or two from their house. So it was secluded out there in the woods pretty good. We split up. Me and her daddy went one direction. Ended up jumping up a creature that kind of changed my way I look at everything ever since. I was a 19-year-old soldier back then. Like I said, now I'm 67. And never forgot the incident. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't anything else. It was about 25 foot from us that we've ever seen before. It jumped the fence in front of us. Like I said, 25 foot in front of us into the pasture. About 8 foot tall, 700 pounds roundabout, covered in hair, and ran across the pasture away from us. Only reason why we didn't unload on it, we didn't shoot on it, because it ran from us and crashed the cattle gate, made a roar that I'd never heard in my life before. And this changed everything I've ever, my whole outlook on what we've been taught to believe exists in our world. I'll give you the short version of the story, because it's about a 45-minute long story. I've been asked to do other podcasts, and I'm on a mission now to go ahead and share as much as I can because I want to encourage people to come forward. Unlike I did, I kept it inside me for almost 50 years. Before I decided to come out, I want to encourage others to come out, come forward, and go ahead and they have an encounter to come forward on it. So it's my mission right there. But anyway, thank you very much. You have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. Now, I'd mentioned that most people won't and don't associate Arkansas with Bigfoot. But it wasn't always like that. Back in the day, around the time of Steve's sighting, coincidentally, there were all kinds of run-ins in that general area. Northern Louisiana and southern Arkansas were hotbeds for late-night garbage can raids, road crossings, and chicken coop invasions. In fact, world-famous Sasquatch investigator, journalist, and author John Green wrote about that location in his book, Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us. Here's an excerpt from page 192. On November 2, 1974, the Arkansas Gazette reported several sightings in Dallas County, the most recent being at Fordyce. One man, who shot at the creature in his front yard at night, said it was 7 or 8 feet tall and looked like a gorilla, although at first he thought it was a bear. He fired at it twice, using a 30-30 by flashlight, and it turned and walked away. In March 1975, the Camden News reported the sighting of a 7 or 8 foot creature, completely covered in hair in that community. Camden is southeast of Fordyce, and both are in the central part of the state. Now, both locations mentioned are right there in the area Steve had his encounter in, and both occurred in the mid-1970s, the heyday for Sasquatch activity in the area. And you heard how they handled monsters back in the day, with bullets. And a 30-30 isn't exactly a small caliber round, either. That's the lever-action rifle you typically see in cowboy movies. A round or two from that should have brought this thing down. Or at the very least, slowed it down. If it were flesh and blood, that is. And believe it or not, it's not the only time one of these things was shot at in this region. The following newspaper article was featured in the November 1st, 1977 edition of Morning World out of Monroe, Louisiana. Creature rumored in the area, Winfield, Louisiana. Rumors about a tall, hairy creature seen in the woods near Sykes were spreading across Wynn Parish last weekend. A squirrel hunter reportedly shot at and wounded a 6-foot-tall, 2-legged hairy creature, which escaped into the woods in the Beach Creek area of West Sykes. The Wynn Parish Sheriff's Department and the Winfield radio station received a number of telephone calls from persons inquiring about the validity of the report. However, sheriff's officials were unable to verify the rumor. Sykes Town Marshal Douglas Head investigated the report Sunday by talking with hunters and searching the woods. He said no one was able to identify the squirrel hunter, who reportedly wounded the creature, or locate the trail of blood. Sheriff Dan Page said Monday his office had not received any calls from anyone reporting the shooting of a person. He said similar rumors about a tall, hairy creature had been circulating recently in the towns of Caldwell and Grant. Now, there's a bit more to that article, but that's the gist of it. And you can read the entire thing by visiting our show notes at monstersamonguspodcast.com and by clicking on the show notes. Now, it's worth pointing out that the location of this report is a little over 100 miles from where Steve's encounter went down. Now, I have to imagine that distance is nothing to a Sasquatch on the run. Unless, of course, it's full of bullet holes. Now, fast forwarding to present day. Like I said, things have really seemed to quiet down in that area over the past few decades. Those encounters have faded into legends. And apparently, the monster has faded back into the swamp. A huge thanks for sharing the story, Steve. I love old accounts like this, especially when there are newspaper articles and documented reports to back them up. And that is where this mystery ends, folks. But please stay in your seats until the ride has come to a complete stop. I'll be addressing you shortly. Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes, Delaney Bowers, and Connor Ryan. All media used in this episode was done so under the protection of fair use. Be sure to give us a like and follow on our social media pages. Give us a like and follow at YouTube. Follow our Discord and leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. Don't forget that you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Now don't forget to watch my movie. Just search for Shadows in the Desert on Amazon Prime or Tubi, or visit BoregoTriangle.com to get all the info. And lastly, don't forget to join us in the beyond. Visit MonstersAmongUsPodcast.com and click the Patreon tab to get signed up and into the action right away. And of course, don't forget to keep it spooky. I'll talk with you all here in a bit. Until then, have yourselves a good night.
not going to get a ton of credit.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The work ethic, the money, and being around certain things.
I've felt that, I think. I don't know if it's precise.
Now, like I said, it's called Monsters Among Us for a reason. Because I love monsters. And it's with one more monster call that I'm going to end the regular show here tonight. So from the state of Ohio, please welcome Russell to the program.
Hi, my name's Russell Morris. I live in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was down about 40 miles, I guess, straight east of Bowling Green, Kentucky, visiting relatives in a town called Scottsville. And I was carrying my luggage out to come home Sunday morning about 6:30. And I just happened to glance up in the sky. It was a nice, pretty, clear day. And I thought it was a glider going over my head. And I looked up again, and it was a pterodactyl. And I thought, oh, my God, I don't believe what I'm looking at here. Its wingspan was probably 75 to 100 feet wide. It was about 150 feet in the air, right over top of the treetops. And this thing was like a blue-gray, leather-looking like skin, no feathers on it. It had the typical short legs with the claws on it, the long face, bat-like wings. It was a typical pterodactyl that you would see in pictures. And it was flying up in the direction of Mammoth Cave. And I figured that must be where this thing lives because there's nothing down there. It's so flat. And this thing was so big. And I just stood and I watched and I was singing, please turn around, turn back around, like a bird will circle. But it just kept going and kind of coasting and flapping its wings once in a while until it went out of sight, which was, I guess, maybe 5, 6, 7 miles by the time I couldn't see it anymore. Yeah, I just wanted to call in to let everybody know that I seen this thing flying over me, and I absolutely couldn't believe it. I didn't have my phone with me. It was in the house, and I didn't think of running in to grab it because I wanted to see if this thing would turn back around. And I have encountered other things like a Bigfoot up in Mammoth Cave, the same area. So that kind of... it led me to believe, well, you know, I'm looking into this thing for sure. And I came back and I started telling people, and they said, oh, you're crazy. You never seen that. But, hey, I don't care what they think. You know, I know what I saw, and I just wanted to call in and tell everybody about it. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Russell. That is a big flying animal. Now, admittedly, this isn't something that you hear about every day.
but it is something that you hear about from time to time. On the island of Papua New Guinea, there are legends of large flying dinosaur-like creatures that they call Leropan. There are a number of what appear to be older photographs from the quote-unquote Old West, showing cowboys holding up dead pterosaurs or pterodactyls. The photographs label them as thunderbirds. And then there are sightings like this one, also from Western Kentucky, courtesy of Reddit. I was driving into work and I saw it clear as day, flying left to right 20 to 30 feet in front of my car. I saw the head and crest and it was grayish and leathery and like gliding in a weird way. I don't know how to explain how it was flying. Probably 3.5 to 5 feet in length, but proportions are hard to tell from a car, so I could be totally wrong about its size. I didn't notice if it had a tail or not, because I was just so shocked and amazed by what I was seeing. And I also linked to another encounter, this time in Bowling Green, Kentucky, only about 25 miles from where Russell had his experience. That link is in tonight's show notes. So there's three, and I wonder how many more experiences just like these are still out there. So if you've experienced a flying dinosaur or any other paranormal activity, the number is 888-608-NIGHT, and that email is monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. Now, thank you again, Russell, for sharing the phone call. Hopefully we get to revisit this one later on down the line. And speaking of down the line, it's time to move on to our next stop, the beyond. And to join us, all you have to do is join our $5 level on Apple subscriptions or Patreon. That gives you instant access to days worth of bonus content and everything ad-free. Now it's only $5, so what do you have to lose? And there's a free 7-day trial as well. So this offer is even harder to ignore. And trust me when I say that you do want to join us, because it's there that you'll hear stories like this one from Carlos, also in the state of Louisiana.
Hey, Derek, this is Carlos from New Orleans, Louisiana. And I told my mother about the incident that happened when I was a kid. And it just so happened she told me of an incident. This is her story. We purchased a new home a couple of years after I finished high school. And she told me one night she woke up in the middle of the night and there was a figure standing at her bed. It looked like a woman. She couldn't move. She was trying to scream. She couldn't reach out. And this figure crawls up onto the bed, onto her chest. And she said she felt immense pressure. And it was just staring at her. And she said it was a woman. And it just reminded me of stories that I've heard on your show and other places of a dark female figure coming to people like this at night. I've never mentioned this to her. We've never talked about this.